If you will, turn back to Deuteronomy 33, where we read our scripture reading this morning, and our text will be found in the 16th verse. It will not be the entire verse, but just one phrase that's in the one line that's in the verse. That's Deuteronomy 33:16, and the line that we'll be focusing on this morning, "And for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush." Let us pray. O Lord, how great Thou art, how faithful Thou art. Thank You, O Lord, that Thou hast brought us here this day. Lord, I pray that You would fill our hearts and our minds with a desire to know Thee, to love Thee, to follow Thee, to seek Thee above all other things, above all other people, above all other thoughts. Lord, may you be pleased to bring our minds subject to Thee, and You would fill our hearts and minds with Thyself. Give us, Lord, this morning of Thy mind. Lord, as these scriptures are opened up this morning, I pray that You be with my lips and that You would loose from them Thy gospel truth, that You would send it to those that You intend to hear this morning and give them ears to hear. Lord, may You be pleased to glorify Your name, for all praise and glory and honor belongeth unto Thee. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned before, we read the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy. This was the last day that Moses would be on the face of the earth, and also meaning the last day that he would act as a mediator between him and the people, between God and the people. And as you see in this mediatory office, he came to the Lord in prayer and song, whatever way you want to look at it, and he offered praise and blessings upon the 12 tribes of Israel. So in his last official act, he blessed them, and then the Lord in his mercy took him to see the promised land. Took him up to view the place that his foot could never set foot in. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. It had to be that Joshua, the deliverer, Joshua, the one who would take them into the promised land, Joshua, whose name means Jesus, had to be the one who brought the people in. This morning, I want you to focus with me in 16, and this is in the middle of Joseph's blessings. And it's no surprise to us. The Holy Spirit does nothing out of accident or nothing out of chance. So in the blessings that Moses is bringing forth or giving toward the whole tribe, he comes to the Joseph being the type of Christ, who Joseph was the one where we have all of our blessings and everything is stored in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so on this text from 13 to 17, he speaks of all the blessings that are given to Joseph. And he talks about all the things of the earth and the fullness thereof. But he focuses in on this one line where our text is taken this morning, and he says, "And for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush." In all of Moses' life, whether it was him at the Red Sea, whether it was him in the wilderness, whether it was him when he was as a baby left and raised and for 40 years by Pharaoh's daughter, in all of those events, the event that he remembers and that he recalls the most in the last day of his life is the time that the Lord Jesus Christ met him in the burning bush. We're going to look at that here shortly. It had such a profound effect on Moses. It was the beginning of his ministry, and the Lord revealed himself that day to Moses. And from that day on, Moses would not be the same as he was prior to that. So keep that in mind, and as we think of this morning, as we turn to Exodus here in a minute, but I want you to see that as that was the beginning of his life, so to speak, after the 40 years he spent as Pharaoh's daughter, Hebrews tells us that by faith, in Hebrews 11:26, it says, "By faith, Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches and treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." it wasn't a physical reward that was revealed to Moses. If it was, he would have stayed there and been Pharaoh. He would have been the one that led all of Egypt. But that wasn't important to him. The Lord had impressed upon him to leave and to go and to be that person that the Lord would call to be his spokesperson, to be his mediator between his people that he pulled out of Egypt. And on that day, as we'll see here shortly, on that time, it had such an effect on Moses that at the end of his life, and I do mean the end, this was his last day, his last hours, that was impressed upon him, that event. So the Lord would take him from the beginning of his ministry, and what Moses would see was that the Lord Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the one who led him, who governed his life, who was the one in that burning bush. But do not forget the beginning of our text this morning. For his good will. You and I talk a lot about the will of God. We talk about it, we think about, we pray that the Lord would reveal the will of God to us. How many of us in here know that the will of God is good? It's good in everything that He brings into our life. Even though you deem it hard, even though you deem it a trial, even though it's His good will. Moses had looked back upon his life and all of those years, and Moses wasn't less in strength of any kind. In fact, if we'd have read one more verse to us this morning in 34:7, it says Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He hadn't lost any strength in that 120 years. It had been 80 years since the Lord had revealed Himself in that bush. And the Lord sustained him all of those years. He didn't lose any eyesight. He didn't lose anything. And as he pictured the law, as he was the lawgiver, that's a picture to us that the law has never lost its strength. It has never lost, it has never weakened in anything. The Lord, the law of God is holy and just. But we needed one to keep that law. We needed one to satisfy that law. We needed one that would stand in our place and do all things that you and I could not do. All of this encompasses this one statement that Moses says, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. And you have to ask yourself, why was this blessing attributed to Joseph? Because he saw Joseph and he knew that Joseph was a type of Christ. Remember, a while back we looked at that text, which I believe was in 1 Peter 1, that showed us that the Spirit of Christ dwelt in the prophets. The Spirit of Christ revealed to them where to go, what to say, what was pleasing to the Lord. It was the same Spirit that guides you and I today. So keep that in mind with me this morning as we turn back to Exodus chapter 3. Where we see this account where the Lord met Moses. Exodus 3. And we'll look at the first six verses. The first verse says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law." I told you, for 40 years he was the second in command. He left all of those riches in Egypt. And as he left those riches in Egypt, now he's a lowly shepherd. Once again, a picture of our Lord. Everywhere you see in the Scriptures that they speak of Him, you will see Jesus shining through. Moses was called to be a shepherd. And now, in this mean estate, this low estate that he's in, he's keeping the flock of Jethro and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, which means Sinai. So he comes in the desert, and that's important because it's going to define for us what kind of bush this is. He comes to the desert and he's watching the flock out there at night. Has no idea what's about to take place in his life, as you and I don't either. We walk out of that door today, we don't know what the Lord's providence is in our life. We don't know what the Lord's going to bring. We don't have any idea what His plan is for our life. Moses was no different. And the angel of the Lord, which we've said many times up here, when you see the angel of the Lord, when He manifests Himself that way, like He did to Jacob when he wrestled with him, when He manifests Himself to Hagar, when He manifests Himself all throughout the Old Testament, and it's called the angel of the Lord, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the pre-incarnate vision. He saw Christ. And that's cleared up for us here as we go on in verse 4. It says, and the Lord saw Him. The Lord, all capital. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the angel of the Lord, which angel means messenger. Who is the messenger who came to save His people from their sins? Who is the one that came to do His Father's will? Jesus said in John 6:48, "For I came down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him that sent Me." He is that messenger of the Father. He's the one who came to save His people. He is the one who came to give His life for His people. So we have the angel of the Lord. He appeared unto him, Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. The bush there, translated, is bramble. The bush there is like what we would think out west when you see these tumbleweeds going in the west. You think of these little round things that are nothing, but they're thorny. And there's a reason that this is the bush that was picked. And there's a reason that the Lord revealed Himself in this bush. And we'll get to that in a minute. So, unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. It's encompassed in fire. And the bush was not consumed. So, if you will, get a picture of this. The bush is consumed with fire, but it's not consumed by the fire. So it's just burning. Just like you and I would peer into a fire, and we would peer into a fireplace, and we would see a fire burning. But that wood that we're seeing is being consumed. And in order to keep that fire going, we have to throw another log on the fire, or we've got to put kindling on the fire to keep it going. But that's not what's pictured for us here. What's pictured for us is this lowly little bramble bush. And it's caught on fire. And Moses looks at it and sees it. And as it's consumed with a flame, it's the angel of the Lord who's in the flame. The picture of the bramble bush is a picture of the church. Christ consumes the thoughts. He consumes the hearts. He consumes everything of the child of God in the church. That's what the Lord does when we have the mind of Christ. That's what He does as He is consumes our thoughts. That's what, when we are born again, the Lord gives us a new heart. A heart that's consumed with following Him. My sheep shall hear My voice, and they shall follow Me. They will hear My voice. And they shall follow Me. I will perform all things for My sheep. Without Me, they can do nothing. We see this bush and we see the flame of fire that's in, and the Lord is appearing to it. And He's revealing something. Like I said, this is the beginning of Moses' ministry. From this point, Moses is going to hear the voice of God speaking to him, telling him where to go, what to do. And he's set on his ministerial path as a mediator between God and those people. He is a picture of Christ that way, in many ways. But we're going to focus this morning on this bush. Because our text tells us this morning, at the end of his life, the one event that meant more to him than anything else in his life, even the time that he stood in the front of the sea and he lifted up his arms and the seas parted. And they went to safety, and then they turned around and watched the seas consume all of his enemies. But on the last day of his life, the thing that he mentions the most, or the thing that he mentions in the blessings of Joseph, who is our Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, he mentions the goodwill of Him that dwelt in the bush. And that gives us a clue to who that person is in the bush. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who dwells in His church. When I think about this, and I the Lord allows my thoughts to go and how good He is to His church, I think of the bush first. I think of the bramble bush, and I think of the thorns. And what the Lord took me to was the curse of man. When the Lord cursed, when He cursed the ground from the fall of Adam, He cursed the ground because of man's sin. Correct? And He cursed, He said, the ground will now put forth thorns. Now we see this thorny bush being consumed. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does with our sin. He puts that curse. He was made a curse for us. He, in His life, because of His work, because of Him, we're not under that curse anymore. Because of Him fulfilling all that the Father required of Him in our place as our substitute. Because that's why we sang this morning, He lives. That's why our closing hymn this morning will be, because He lives. We have life because of the burning of the Lord Jesus Christ in our souls, in our lives. He is that burning bush that consumes our thoughts. And I'm not talking about our old nature. I'm not talking about the wicked part of us that we know that Christ is not part of. But the holiness, the seed of Christ, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the part that I exalt today. It's Christ in us. That is the part that I see as the Lord appears as this flame of fire. And then the Lord took me deeper. Because we're in Christ, right? We're in Christ as His bride. We are in Christ as His body. But God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. In that respect, Christ is pictured for us as the bush. And we are in Christ because Christ was not consumed by His Father's wrath. He was not consumed as the Father, the fires were poured out upon Him as He was made sin in our place. The Bible calls that propitiation. It's called satisfaction or atonement that He made for our sins. John said it this way in 1 John 2:2. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, the whole elect world. He consumed all of their sins. But He wasn't consumed where He didn't have eternal life. Yes, He died, but He rose again. Those sins had to be dealt with. He had to die that you and I live today. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. His life is why we have life. I desire so much for you to know that, for you to experience that, and for you to walk in that. That nothing out there in that world that comes your way, it pales in comparison to Christ in your mind, in your heart, and in your life. I want you to be consumed as that bush was consumed, yet not consumed. I want Christ to fill your life so much that your thoughts are always about Him and that you desire to know more about Him. And that when those trials and when those afflictions come and when that hardship comes, that the Lord shows you that He is the Lord of them. He brought them to you for your good. For your growth in Him. For you to depend upon Him. For you to desire Him. For you to call out to Him. He is our all in all. Christ is in all and is all. He is everything. That's what Moses saw at the last day of his life. Moses saw his Lord. And you know what? It was okay for him to go and to die the way he did. It was okay. And the Lord, in His mercy, took him up to the promised land and showed him all of that land. But he never set foot in it until what day? The day that Jesus went up and was transfigured on the mountain. Right there in the promised land. And who was he communing with? Moses and Elijah. The Lord's promises are yea and amen. Moses was a child of God. All of those promises are His promises. And whatever the Lord's ordained path for our life is, that's our path here. Here. He has eternal life in Christ Jesus. The flame that doesn't consume. It consumes our thoughts and our hearts, but He is our life. And because of Him, we can walk. Because of Him, we can face tomorrow. Because of Him, we can live. He looked and behold, the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed, because our God is a consuming fire. And He consumes the dross and He consumes all of the filth in us, and He's conforming us to His image. He's readying that bride for that great day, that great marriage ceremony, that great marriage of the Lamb. That's what He's conforming us to. He is our great light. He is our burning, the sensation. But He's more than that. He is life itself. And then in verse 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and I'll see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? So as the Lord reveals Himself in that bush, Moses desires to see more of that bush and to learn more about it. Is it no different in mine and your life? As the Lord reveals Himself, do you not desire to know more about Him? I hope this morning, maybe this isn't a place you've been familiar with in your life. Maybe you've never been to Deuteronomy 33. Maybe you haven't given much thought to this burning bush. I hope as you walk from here today that the thoughts of Christ consume you, where you desire more to learn more about Him and why He's life. Moses said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And verse 4 tells us, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called, that's Jehovah, called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Because the shepherd knows his sheep by name and he calls them by name. And this word God means Jehovah, and Jesus Christ is God. And as the angel of the Lord and the messenger, he called out to his child by name and he said, Moses and Moses. And he's calling him into the ministry and he's equipping him with what? What will he walk out of here with? Will he walk out of pieces of armor that I told you about last week? Yes, but they'll be spiritual because he'll be armored with Christ. Moses, he reveals himself to Moses. Moses desires to know more about Christ. And then Christ reveals to him that I am the great I am, which he will say to him later in this chapter. Remember what the Lord said when he was asked, before Abraham was, I am. I am the eternal Lord Jesus Christ. I am the eternal God. God is the Godhead of three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And all three of them are God. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. What was he showing Moses? That wherever Moses went and where the Lord's presence was, that was holy ground. That piece of ground that Moses was standing on was nothing. It's no different than the piece of ground you and I are standing on right now. There's no difference. It's not about the ground. Man has missed that. They've done it all their whole life. They deify things. They deify the things that God may use and say, oh, this is God. No, it's not. And the Lord revealed to Moses that day that anywhere I'm with you is holy ground. Anywhere. Anywhere you and I go, as the Lord goes with us and He reveals Himself, is holy ground. That is a time the Lord is setting us in that place and revealing Himself to us. Draw not nigh, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Don't ever compromise the holiness of God and the reverence that you show this Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know what times we live in. I know what man says about God. I know the names that they give Him. I know how they dumb Him down. I know the things that go on in what's called a church today. From the concerts, from the healing ceremonies, as one I heard this week was having a comedian come. These things have infiltrated the so-called church, but not the true church, because they have the mind of Christ. Where the Lord has met you, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there in the midst of you. If the Lord is gathered in the midst of us, this is a holy place. And it's not the place that's holy, it's holy because He's here. Moreover, He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's revealing to Moses that he is in that number. He is an elect child of God, and only the Lord can reveal to you. I can't pronounce that for you. No man can pronounce that, no matter how good it makes you feel. But when the Lord says it to you, He impresses it upon your soul that you are a child of His. And the God of Jacob, and Moses hid his face, because when the Lord reveals His glory, that Shekinah glory as we saw in the bush, when He reveals that glory to us, we hide because we see our unworthiness. Just as that bramble bush was, it was unworthy for the Lord's presence. But it wasn't about the bush. It was about His presence in that bush. Just as you and I are. Just as the church is today. He hid His face, for He was afraid to look upon God. I want you to think about what just happened in Moses' life. Why did he flee Egypt? Because he killed a man. He just committed murder. Well, you think a murderer, when he's had that on his mind and he's out there with the sheep, of course he feels unworthy. I don't know what goes through your mind. I know what goes through mine. When the Lord reveals Himself to me and I see my unworthiness, it's my sins. It's what I've committed against Him. It's the things, and when the Lord shows me how horrible I've been against a merciful, loving Lord, there is unworthiness there. But our unworthiness does not stop the Lord's grace. It does not stop His work. And that, my friends, is where the Lord revealed Himself to Moses. Now go back to our text in Deuteronomy 33. And for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. The goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. That his goodwill is his delight. It's his good pleasure. I got some scriptures for you this morning. We'll start in Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. May He impress these upon you this morning. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is that? That's grace. That's what he revealed to Moses when Moses felt unworthiness. That's what He reveals to others. Fear not. I've stood in your place. I'm the one that was consumed with fire, yet not consumed. I'm the one that was perfectly satisfied the justice of the Father. I'm the reason the Father can look at you because He sees me. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Ephesians 1, 5 and 9 says, 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. This is the good will of Him that dwelt in the bush. It's His good will to predestinate us and conform us to His image. It's the good will of Him to adopt us as children. It is the good will of Him to call us as His body. Verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. It is His good will to reveal to us His will that He's purposed in Himself. Don't look anywhere else for the will of God to be revealed to you, but in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. He is the good news of the gospel. He is the intercessor. He is the one who speaks to us the good news of the gospel. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God's will. It is for God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He reveals His will and He reveals the power to do it. That's what that says. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know what that tells me? I don't have the do in me to do His will. I need His power and the strong and the stand in the strength of His might and the power of His might. That's what I need. I need the Lord to perform all things for me. And He has. And as we walk in this pilgrimage, as we live in this little vapor of time that we live in, the Lord reveals that over and over to us, that this is not our home. It's not. He will take us to be with Him in glory. Oh, the goodwill of Him that dwelt in the bush. The goodwill of the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal Himself to Moses at the beginning and all the way through the end. The Lord was with Moses all the way through his life. And all those things that I enumerated earlier, as he parted the sea, as He went up into the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, as the Lord revealed Himself to him and His face shone with the brightness of the glory of the Lord, Moses would know the Lord face to face. He'd be hidden in that cleft of the rock where he'd see all the goodness of the Lord pass by. The Lord was with him all the time. And you know what? Moses is just like you and I. He's a child of God. And those are the promises that we have in Christ, the one who is our promise keeper. Turn with me over to Romans 8, and this will be the last place we go this morning. I thought about the goodwill of Him that dwelt in the bush, and I thought about passages in the Scriptures, and I thought of all these ones the Lord would bring all these thoughts to me. And I said, well, Lord, I can't stand up there and read the entire Bible. For time and for brevity's sake and for my strength's sake, I can't do all that. So the Lord settled me here in Romans 8. And I want to read from 28 to the end. And I want you to keep this in mind as we read these statements. Think about our text, for the goodwill of Him that dwelt in the bush. I've already proved to you this morning, I hope, and I pray the Holy Spirit proves to you this morning that it was He who dwelt in that bush. Now, we ask Him to prove it's His good will for you, for me, for the whole church. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Did you hear that? It is the good will of Him to work all things for the good of His people. It doesn't matter if we think they're bad. It doesn't matter if we call them cross providences. It doesn't matter if we look at this providence and say, wow, that's a beneficial thing. And we look over here and say, that one's not so beneficial. That's the way we as fallen man look at it. But the Lord God has brought all of these things to conform us to the image of His Son. Every one of them are needful. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, His will, His good pleasure. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the good will of Him that dwelt in the bush, is to conform you and I to the image of Him. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That He might be, that everything that Christ went through and did, you and I will follow Him in that path. That's the path He's ordained for us. That's why He told us, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. Same path. Not a physical cross, but whatever cross the Lord's ordained in our life to follow Him in, He's ordained that for us to carry. But are we carrying it by ourselves? No. No, no, no. Our first fruit. The first fruit of the resurrection. The first fruit of the carrying of the cross. The first fruit. It's among the firstborn among many brethren. Because He lives, I live. This is His will. The good will of Him. That 20:30 says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. The justification in Christ, the sanctification in Christ, the glorification in Christ, the preservation in Christ, the love we have in Christ, the leading we have of Christ, the life we have in Christ is the good will of Him that dwelt in the bush. It was His good will to come down here in time to save His people from their sins. And every one of His people will have a pilgrimage just as Christ did to come in time. However that life is short, however much, or long, whatever it is, it's a pilgrimage for them. And if that child dies in the womb, and that child is the Lord's child, that was the span of life. But he's saved by grace too. Or if the guy on the other end that lives to be 120, who has a whole life filled of experiences, the Lord, the same grace, that's His time that's revealed. That's His coming in time. You see where I'm going with this? The Lord did that. He came in time for us. We all must have our time here too. And that time is fixed. Unless the Lord comes again. And then it'll be fixed, not to end in the grave, but in the heavens, in the air. What shall we say to these things? Ask yourself these questions. This is His good will. What can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Did you see that? How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Everything comes through Christ. The Father's ordained that. If He's for us, who can be against? Who can thwart His hand? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. God says you're not guilty. It doesn't matter what the world says. What has Christ said in your heart? Has He pronounced you not guilty? Then you're not guilty. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's reigning because he has the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. This is what Moses meant when he said those words in Deuteronomy. This is the good will that the Lord revealed to Moses, and the same good will that he reveals to you and I today. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall it be tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Can any of those things do it? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, Paul says, nay. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that is his good will, that we are more than conquerors through him. Paul says, I am persuaded. And I hope you can stand with the Apostle Paul, and I hope you can stand with the church and say these words. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, the church, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And dear ones, that is His good will. That is His good will for His body and His church. That nothing will ever separate us from His love. His eternal love. His eternal love that volunteered to come in time. Just as you and I have our blip in time. He had His. And He came to save His people from their sins. And nothing will ever separate us from that love. That's the good will of Him that dwelt in the bush.